We started the Haggadah with a little preface, a little preamble, right? And then afterwards, we started to speak about the Manash Tana, because that's what has to happen. It's got to be questions asked, and then answers proffered. And because we talked so much about how this is supposed to be done, the Baal HaGadah, when he began to actually tell the story, so he starts with Avadim Hayinu, we were once slaves. And then we bring a number of incidents and narratives of here's what the sages did. Maisa b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, here's a story. Because in Halacha, it's one thing to talk about what you should do, it's entirely something else to talk about what was done. Here's what the sages did. And then, after having concluded what the sages did, which kind of proves to you what we're supposed to be doing, we start to bless Hashem here. Baruch HaMakom. Blessed is the source of all space. It's refers to God, of course. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. Baruch Shenasan Teirol Am Yisrael. Blessed is He who has given the Torah to His nation Israel. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Teirol. Now we hear about God speaking in His Torah in a manner that corresponds to four different kinds of children. And this will be their focus, my friends. Today we're going to talk about four kinds of kids. But first, Baruch HaMakom, we're blessing God here. Why are we blessing God suddenly? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Teirol, Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe points out that since we interrupted with a little story, two stories to be exact, here's what the sages did. Here's how the sages regarded this mitzvah. Here's how seriously they took it. So after having said that, we are kind of introducing now the actual speech, the actual Haggadah. And this is similar, he says, to somebody who is going to be giving a sermon or a speech. It starts off by saying, B'Shem Hashem, in the name of God. Blessed be God. And here, interestingly, we don't just say once, but we actually say four times. We bless God or mention God's name four times. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Teirol Am Yisrael, Baruch Hu. And the four times, the Rebbe suggests, and he's actually quoting our sages here, quoting our rabbis, quoting Avud Raham, and the Shibboleth HaLeket, that this corresponds to four different verses that speak about the mitzvah of Haggadah, the mitzvah of telling the story. And because we have four verses that describe it in four different terminologies or four different syntaxes, so therefore, we're performing this mitzvah, and a mitzvah needs a bracha. Before you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. So that's not much of a bracha, though. Baruch HaMakom, that's a bracha. Baruch Hu. Four different times it's being talked about, the mitzvah, four ways of doing this mitzvah. So you want to say that this is a bracha? It says, the Bosh Shibboleth HaLeket tells us, truth be told, the bracha was already recited at Ma'ariv during the evening service. We already recited the blessings over the Shema. However, since now we're going to actually perform the mitzvah, and since this mitzvah is very dear to us, since we cherish it, that's human nature, because it's annual. Mitzvah do once a year, we cherish. So because we cherish this mitzvah, we're doing it once a year, we want to demonstrate how excited we are about this, we kind of reiterate the idea of the four blessings, even though there aren't actually four blessings here. So we're initiating this little speech. We're saying B'Shem Hashem, in the name of God, we're blessing God. And ultimately, really what we're doing is kind of paving the way for the performance of this mitzvah by mentioning various different blessings corresponding to the four different verses. So that's how we get into this. That's the business of Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. And why Baruch HaMakom? So here the Rebbe quotes the Bereishis Rabba that says, Shehu Mekayim Mishal Eilam, Ve'ein Ha'Eilam Mekayim, because God is the source of space, not that God is found in the world, but God creates the world. Not that God relates to space, God is space. God brings space into existence. And perhaps this is related to the notion that we spoke of, like the Kuzari says, why doesn't it say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Barasi Shamayim Va'aretz? Why does it say, I am the God who has created heaven and earth? Because you don't have to believe there's a God who created the world. It's only logical that this is not an accident. What takes faith is that God's involved in our creation, that God cares about the way we live, that God gets involved in the process of our lives, and that God decided to interrupt reality, so to speak, and take a nation out of the bowels of another nation. This is the true essence of divinity. So God didn't come into this world. God is space, but God ultimately reveals this at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. At any rate, that's the way we use it, Baruch HaMakim. And then we say, Keneged Arba'a Banim Dibra Teira. The Teira speaks here in a manner that corresponds to four different sons. That's the literal translation. We have four kinds of kids, and the four kinds of kids have to be addressed in unique ways, because you're responsible for all the children, not just some of the children. The order of the verses here is surprising, because here we mention the children in not in the order of how they appear in the Torah. The Chacham only appears in the book of Deuteronomy, much later. And yet here the Chacham is first.
Robert, what is the source of this? Like, is it really written in Torah, there's four sons?
No. No, it doesn't say Arba Banim in the Torah. It doesn't say the four kinds of kids. But the Torah speaks about this mitzvah four times. And when the Torah speaks of the mitzvah, the Torah uses different ways to introduce the mitzvah. So the Torah one time speaks to us in a manner when the child will ask and you will respond. So when the child asks and you'll respond, we understand there's going to be a child who asks and a response will be given. The Torah also says to us on another occasion, you should tell. It doesn't say when the child will ask. So we understand from this, there'll be a child who won't ask. Why won't he ask? Maybe he doesn't know how to ask. He's clueless. Then the Torah talks to us about a question, a very simplistic question. Doesn't elaborate on the idea of asking. So we understand that there's a simple child, doesn't ask intelligent questions, but he's still interested. And then the Torah introduces us to a child who's going to be angry and agnostic. He's going to challenge us. So what's up with all this? So the question is, who was the Torah talking about? The Torah speaks about four different kinds of kids, four ways in which we're commanded or enjoined to convey the message. Which one is it? What's the answer? Clearly, the Torah is speaking about four different situations. So we extrapolate from this that there are four kinds of kids. But the interesting thing is that the Torah's description of the wise child who asks good questions and wants to learn doesn't show up until Deuteronomy. In Exodus, we talk about first a wicked child. A child's going to say, what are you doing this for? What's up with you people? Or a child who's kind of simplistic or doesn't know how to ask. So the Rebbe points out in his Haggadah, quoting Avu Daham, that the order of the verses isn't so, but they're mentioned here in the Haggadah in the order, in a sliding order of wisdom. The Chacham is wisest. The Rasha, he comes in a close second. He's nobody's fool. The Rasha is a smart kid. He's just an agnostic kid, angry kid, a wicked kid. He's smart. So therefore he comes next because he's also smart. And then comes the Tom, who's not too bright altogether, a little bit dull. And then comes the kid who's absolutely clueless. There's no what's going on. He's not because he's dull. He's out of the picture. And in each of the introductions, we have four paragraphs. Chacham, Mahu, Eimer. Chacham, what does he say? A Chacham, what does he say? He says, what is the Eidos? What is the Chukim? What is the Mishpatim? Simplistically stated, what's the difference in some mitzvahs we do understand, some mitzvahs we don't understand? Why is that? Why are the mitzvahs, why are the different kinds of mitzvahs that Hashem has commanded you? And what should you tell him? You should teach him the halachas. You should explain it to him. You tell him, Hilchas HaPesach, you go through the details, tell him the halachas, that Eim Aftir and HaPesach HaFikoyman, that once we finish eating the Korban Pesach, that's the conclusion. And there's much to be said about what the Chacham is really asking, and perhaps even more to be said about what we're answering. What's the response to the Chacham? And then we have a Rasha. Mahu Eimer, what does he say? He says, Ma Avayda Zeis Lachem, what's up with this for you people? What are you doing this for? But he opens up by saying, Lachem, it's for you. Lachem V'loiloi. Now, we believe that the words chosen are very meaningful. as the Friedrich Rebbe said, that Chacham, Mahu, the person, the wise person, what he is, Omer. Just listen to the way he speaks. Everybody will say or articulate what they are. It's a matter of time. You let them speak, they will tell you who they are. And this is actually a fact. People can only fool you some of the time. In the end, if you're with a person long enough, you will hear who they are. Because you can't forever mask the true intentions and feelings. You only need to look at the recent political bouts of the last months and years here in North America to see how ultimately who people are, they will say. Everything, so to speak, comes out. Whether it's a hot mic event, or it's because people lower their guard, or they're in a moment of anger or frustration. Mahu, what they are, Oimer. You'll hear it. So the Chacham, Mahu Oimer. What he is. What is he? He's inquisitive. He's not a tzaddik, by the way. He's not a holy roller. He's not so righteous. He's also, he wants to know. But what he is, he's inquisitive. That's the sign of wisdom. Sign of wisdom is somebody who asks questions because he wants to know. Maha Eidus. What is the Eidus? What is the Chukim? What is the Mishpatim? Now it does say, Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, God commanded you, but as Chassidus explains, it means you after Matan Torah. There was mitzvahs before Matan Torah, there's mitzvahs after Matan Torah. So what's this thing? Is it that you, meaning in sharp contrast with the way it was before Matan Torah? But the Rasha right away starts off. What is Zaveda? What is this thing for you? What are you doing this for? And we say, Olafisha Hoisi is Atzim in a cloud, because he took himself out of the rule. He doesn't include himself. He says, why are we doing this? He says, what are you doing? I don't do this. I'm not into this. I'm just a spectator. But like, what's up with you people? Because he says that, Avhake Ashin of you blunt his teeth. Va'imrle, you tell him, Bavurze, Asa Hashem Lib Mitzesim Mitzayim. Hashem did all of this, took us out of Mitzayim for this, so we would commemorate it, that we would know. And live by its cradle. But we say, leave Eloi. He did it for me, not for you. Elohai Hashem, if you had been there, you would have died. You'd never made it out of Mitzrayim. Because the wicked people in Egypt, they didn't make it out. And then there's the Tam. Mahu Eimer. What does he could say? What could he say? He doesn't ask any smart questions. He says, what's up, man? What's going on? That's all he knows. So what's going on? So listen, there was a great guide. He took us out of Egypt. Oh, that's what's going on. Okay. Right? So he's wondering what happened. He doesn't know. He's like, explain to me what's going on there. Then the She'eni De'elishol, then the Torah even talks to us about a child who doesn't even know how to ask. So what should we do? You should engage him. Yes, it would be nicest and best if the child would ask questions, that you'd be able to give answers. But sometimes the child just stares at you, doesn't know what you want from him. So you tell him, you talk to him. You say, V'yigar to levincha. Torah does say, tell your child, b'yemuhu on that day. You should tell him, b'avurze asa Hashem li, b'tzeisim mitzayim. This is what Hashem did for me, and he took us out of Mitzayim. So you engage. Okay, so let's ask a couple of questions here, try to understand this better. The verses of the Chacham, as mentioned, show up only in Deuteronomy. The verses of the Tam, it's not so bad. It's not angry. It's not agnostic. That shows up in Exodus 13. Who shows up in Exodus 12? In other words, how does the Torah's instructions for Passover, for Pesach Seder night begin? Not by telling us about a Ben HaChacham. That shows up books later, at the end of the fifth book. And even the Tam doesn't show up till chapter 13. Who shows up right away in verse 12? The Rasha. And the Sheni De'elishol. The wicked child, the wicked kid, and the clueless kid. So what's the message for us? It's like that's where we start, that's not where we end. So the Rebbe says that there is a very important lesson that's being conveyed to each and every one of us. A person might say, I will spend the time with the kids who can use it. I will spend the time with the smart kids. I'll explain to the kids who are interested. You want to learn, you want to study, I'm here to teach. The kids who are angry, the kids not interested, have a nice life. I'm not interested. At very best, the person might say, okay, fine. I don't want to be like only focusing on the goody two-shoes and the kid who actually asks the questions. I'll deal with the kid of weaker intellectual prowess. I'll deal with the Tom, the simple one. But the bad kids, the wicked kids, the kids who are just asking questions because they want to ask questions, I'm not dealing with that. I don't want to have anything to do with these rebellious kids or the kids who are totally clueless and uninterested, don't even ask any questions. So the Torah comes along and says, we speak about all kinds of kids, four kinds of kids. And who should you deal with first? Who's your first order of business or first care and concern? The wicked kid. The kid is clueless. Yeah, yeah, work on engaging those kids. That's what the Torah is telling us. Because nothing's an accident. And the fact that the Torah told us these children to begin with is because that's our first, not last order of business. That's our first concern, not our final concern. Furthermore, the answer to the Rasha is not found in the verses that speak about the Rasha. There are verses that speak about the wicked kid who's going to, you know, we didn't even leave Egypt yet, and God says, listen, Kindlech, I want to tell you, you're going to have kids who are going to be agnostic. I'm just letting you know. Before you even get there, like every other nation, you know, you want to have a declaration of independence, they're busy celebrating. Fine, you know, in 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, people start tearing down the statues of the founders, people start being frustrated, rejecting the values of the people who built the country that they get to enjoy. That takes some time, you know. In the beginning everybody's very patriotic, everybody's very, now here we are. We're still in Mitzrayim, we didn't leave Mitzrayim yet. We didn't even get born into our nationhood. We just got the news that we're going to be born as a nation. And what's the next piece of news we get? Yeah, there's going to be kids. They're going to rebel. They're going to ask all kinds of questions. They're not going to want to be a part of this, okay? I'm just letting you know. Oh, thanks, God. That's great news. Yeah. Because this is the nature of, that's what it is. And but there's no answer to that kid. Where does that answer show up? The answer shows up only in the verses that speak about the She'enu De'alishal, the child doesn't even know how to ask. You know why? Because the Rebbe says, really, deep down, underneath that crust of anger, frustration, and even indifference, there's a Yid who believes. And because all of Yisrael are Maminim Bnei Maminim, this is, it's in our DNA. And the person who's rebellious, the kid who's angry and rebellious, he's actually, it's just like he's having temporary spiritual amnesia. He's forgotten, but it's not really who he is. At the worst, he's a Sheni De'alishal. At the worst, he's uninterested. But don't be fazed by the anger, by the hate, by the frustration. Deep down, there's a live wire there. You just have to dig a little. You know, you have to find it. As the Rebbe once told a woman who said to the Rebbe that she has a brother-in-law who doesn't has no connection to Yiddishkeit at all. The Rebbe said, go back and tell him that he has every connection. There's just a little bit of sand that's covering it. You have to blow away the sand, dig away the crust that conceals it. So this is the message that Torah gives to us about the wicked child, that the child's wickedness is only temporary. And deep down, at best, he's clueless. And as we say, Ein Adam Eved Aveda, a person does do a sin, Ela Im Kein, unless, Nichnas Beiruach Shtos, a spirit of folly has entered. So the spirit of folly has entered, you'll get past the spirit of folly. You'll be just fine. But you have to make the effort. That's
what is the order based on wisdom or based on engagement?
Well, on a simple level, the order is definitely based on wisdom. Because if it was based on engagement, the Rasha should come first.
Why? So interested in all the laws.
Because we just said, when the Torah speaks about these four kinds of children, where does the Torah, who does the Torah put first? The Torah puts the Rasha first.
Okay, but the Torah is emphasizing that not to ignore a child like
that. Don't ignore it, exactly.
Not necessarily that he's more engaged than a wise one.
The Torah doesn't say ignore the smart kid. It doesn't say that the child who knows already, just like write him off. You have to engage all the children.
That's right.
So on one hand, the Haggadah writes it, B'derech Chachmasim. We have in a sliding scale. The wiser child, the child is not as wise, but still pretty smart. The child who isn't that smart, the child who's totally dull, does he know how to ask, is clueless. That's the way it's written. The order comes in Haggadah. But if you look in the Torah, the way the order shows up, it's slightly different. It doesn't say don't give attention to the good kids. It just says make sure you give attention to the kids who are not what we call the good kids. Because deep down, they're really good too. That's lesson one. Here is another lesson to be learned. The Rasha is certainly on the lowest ebb. Right? Four kinds of kids. Okay, who's worst off? Who's the kid nobody wants? Who's the kid everybody hopes everybody else has that kid? That's the Ben Rasha, that's for sure. So why does he show up number two? If he's the worst, he should come at the end. I understand you have to include him. He should come at the end. You have the smart kid ask questions. Has the kid asked questions and not such good questions? You have the kid who doesn't ask questions at all. Okay, you have to try to engage him. And then you have the kid who's engaging you, but oh, is he engaging you? You people. He's not interested. He's fighting you. Why does he come first? Or why does he come second? He should seemingly come at the end. And here the Rebbe asks an amazing question. We have learned about the four cups that are drunk. So yeah, there are four. It turns out there are a lot of fours on this night of Pesach. There are four cups of wine. There are four questions in the Manashtana. There are four kinds of children we're supposed to be engaging with. Okay, yesterday we talked about the possibility of five questions, and there actually is five languages of Geula. So there's a fifth cup, which is Felio and Avi. There's a fifth question where Mashiach will come, but factually speaking, we got four questions. So, and we have four cups. And we got four children, four kids. There's also a fifth kid, right? We talked about him yesterday. He didn't show up. He didn't get the text message. It's Pesach. He's in Acapulco. He doesn't... Maybe he's in Vegas. He can't be bothered. Like, he's on vacation. Yeah, we do have Chabad in these places. That's exactly what the Rebbe wanted, that there should be no more fifth child, right? The Rebbe wanted to eradicate the fifth child syndrome. So if we have these four cups, and the four cups will correspond to four kids, so who's the first cup of wine? The Chacham, first cup. What do you do with the first cup? You make Kiddush. That's nice. Make Kiddush. Very nice. What happens in the second cup? We recite the whole Agada. In fact, we fill up the glass before we need it. We fill up the glass right in the beginning. Why do we do that? That's part of making the children ask questions, because we kind of push the matzah aside, and now we're filling up a cup and say, hey, why are we filling up a cup again? We didn't eat yet. So it makes the child ask questions. And the cup is filled with wine all Haggadah long, which is the lion's share of the Seder. Most of the Seder is the Haggadah. That means most of the Haggadah is recited over who? The Rasha. The second cup. This is like a new understanding of that coffee shop. Second cup. The second cup is the whole Haggadah. That's the Ben HaRasha. So the Rebbe says, one second. If the Ben HaRasha, not only he shows up number two, which gives him a place of prominence, he gets the most attention. He gets the whole cup. The whole second cup. Yeah, the Rasha does, but I'm not saying how much time he takes up on your hard drive or how much grief the Rasha gives you. But here's how much time you're supposed to give him. And the truth is, what did we tell the Rasha? We told him, if you had been there, you wouldn't even have been part of this. That's not even inspiring. We just wrote him off. Here you tell a whole story, how the whole cup is recited over the second son and how he's so important. And what's the message to him? You're just lucky you weren't a Rasha in the last time around. Had you been a Rasha back there, you wouldn't even be here. You would have died in Mitzrayim. So how does that kind of jibe with this notion that we say the whole Haggadah over the Rasha, who in the Haggadah we say, he's barely there altogether. He wouldn't even have been taken out of Mitzrayim. So the Rebbe says the answer is in the Talmudic maxim, Afal Pi Shechata, even though he or she has sinned, Yisrael who... They are still Israel. They are still a member of Am Yisrael. And how is that? How is that? Because even though on the surface the Rasha behaves very wickedly and very badly, deep down under the surface, the Rasha has a live neshama. He's part of this still. He's fighting it, but he's still part of it. And it's alluded to in the words Echad. Echad Chacham, the Echad Rasha. The Echad Tom, the Echad Sheni De Elishal. It's a strange way to talk, no? One is a wise, one is a wicked, one is a fool, one is clueless. What's the Echad? So when you say the word Echad to a Jew, what's the first thing you think about? Hashem Echad, exactly, the Shema. And so what's the deeper message is that every Yid underneath the surface, everybody's got an Echad in him. Everybody's got the Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. Even the wicked child has the Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. He just doesn't feel it right now. He's not engaged with his Hashem Echad now. But really, he's got an Echad too. So what's our job? Our job is to reveal the Echad that's there, but that the Ben Rosh doesn't want to know about. But it's there. He's got it. Everybody's got an Echad. Everybody's got a Pintel Yid. And this is the message to the Rasha. Number one, we'll put you second. Why do we put you second? Who's your neighbor? Who are you sitting next to at the table? Sit next to the Chacham. What's the Chacham's job? Talk to your brother, would you? Help your parents. The Chacham also has to do his part. We have to try to put the Rasha in a setting where the Rasha will be able to, the Chacham will be able to influence the Rasha. That's number one. Number two, our message to the Rasha is not one of writing him off. We say, Ilo hayasham, had you been in Egypt, you would have been far gone. Because the people in Egypt, they didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, they didn't leave. However, when Mashiach is going to come this time around, in the next Geula, nobody is going to stay behind. As it says, not a single Jew will be left behind. And so our message to the Rasha is, you may take yourself out of the plurality of the Jewish people. You may wish to extricate yourself and talk about us or you people. And you know what? Once upon a time, that would have worked. And you would have been separated. And you would have been cut off. But that's no longer the case. This time around, everybody will come home. And so, we're not writing the Rasha off. We're using strident language. But we're telling the Rasha, ultimately, we have no intention of giving up on you. You too are a part of this. And we hope that by making the right investment and putting you in the right environment, we'll be able to bring around the Ben HaRasha as well, so that all of Hashem's children, all the kinds of kids, can be able to serve Hashem, all the kinds of kids can be able to participate in the process of redemption that will, l'meretz Hashem, come through Mashiach, b'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen.